When it comes to education, there's a lot of controversy surrounding Common Core. To discuss this right now is Bo DiMuccio, Dr. Bo DiMuccio, who recently wrote an op-ed on the subject as a guest commentator for Grove City College's Center for Vision and Values. Dr. DiMuccio, thank you, and thank you for joining us, and welcome to the program.
Thanks, my pleasure.
Okay, for those not familiar with it, what is Common Core? Let's start with that.
Well, Common Core is a, I believe it's an attempt to federalize public education. What it is, at minimum, is the description of a set of educational standards driven from the federal government down through the states to the local public school districts. And the idea, of course, is that there is a core set of understandings, knowledge, ways of thinking, standards that ought to be harmonized and common for all states and for all districts.
That sounds good.
And in a way, well, that's exactly the point I was just about to make. In fact, I would describe it as a siren song. If you have any classicists that listen to your radio program, you know, from Odysseus, it's a siren song. I guess you could describe it as a deceptively alluring, something that's deceptively alluring. And that's actually a theme in my article, is that if you really think about it, there is something, I suppose, somewhat conservative about the idea of establishing a single set of standards and then saying, hey, every school needs to live up to those standards and be held accountable to those standards. What could go wrong? Well, a lot can go wrong, and that's, I suppose, what we'll be talking about here for the next few minutes.
Sure. All right. The article, by the way, is called Wake Up Conservatives, Examining Conservative Support for Common Core. And you mentioned in your article Bill Bennett. I will also mention that Jeb Bush, who did he really did a great job when he was the governor of Florida, and I was disappointed to find out that he apparently is in favor of Common Core. If Common Core is so bad, how is it that Jeb Bush or Bill Bennett could say it's okay?
Sure. I mean, Mike Huckabee also was a supporter of Common Core before he was a detractor of Common Core.
Yeah, my understanding that Mike Huckabee definitely changed on that. Okay, good. I'm glad you clarified that.
He did change his mind and is now not a supporter. This is, I think, what is critical, because I believe that there should not be right of center division on this topic. And if there are folks out in your listening audience and out there in the country that are against the idea of Common Core, then they probably ought to have a pretty strong interest in dispelling the idea that folks to the right of center generally ought to be disagreeing on this topic. They really shouldn't be when you think about it. So, I mean, the question then becomes, as you said, how can folks like Jeb Bush, Mike Huckabee at one time, you know, Bill Bennett, how can they support this sort of an idea? And I think first thing that we ought to do is assume that there are sincere reasons to support the idea. I think that there are folks that sincerely believe that education in America is broken, and one way to fix it is to establish a sort of a fundamental common set of principles that everyone has to align to. I don't necessarily believe we have to ascribe insincere or corrupt motives to people. Mm-hmm. Honest people can disagree on this topic. But, you know, the question in my mind is really more strategic and perhaps to an extent tactical, which is that if you are generally against top-down solutions, federal government down to the states, state governments down to the local municipalities, then your gut instinct ought to be to oppose something like this, because that's exactly what it is. At one level, is it's a power grab. Because where standards enter the picture, assessments also must enter the picture. And by the way, No Child Left Behind, which was the product of a Republican administration, really rested on many of the same principles as the whole Common Core initiative. Mm-hmm. Establish standards, hold schools accountable, develop a testing framework around those standards, and then build test results into evaluation of schools, funding formulas, et cetera.
Go ahead.
That's where things get, A, complicated, but then B, anti-conservative, because if you believe, like I do, and I think probably like most of your listeners do, that local populations, local communities ought to be free to determine how they use their own tax treasuries to create educational programs for their kids, then sooner or later you have to recognize that this sort of initiative obliterates local autonomy. Mm. And I know of which I speak, not only because I, have a background in policy studies and political science. I used to be a college professor, so I have an education background. But I'm also a school board president in the local school district in which I live in western Pennsylvania. So I have personally had to see the impacts and the effects of Common Core and other top-down attempts to harmonize and genericize public education. And believe me when I tell you that where standards and assessments go, loss of autonomy follows. In other words, mm-hmm. if you're establishing standards and tests to assess them, guess what follows? Mm-hmm. Curriculum. And so ultimately the curriculum, even if only indirectly, is being determined from on high. And I think that most folks, when they learn about this and they see the implications of starting with standards, going to assessments, and then having to align curriculum, ask any school district administrator anywhere in the country, put the phrase on the table, Common Core alignment, see how they react and ask how much effort goes into that. Mm. Well, there's your link between standards assessments and curriculum.
It's interesting. Speaking of language, and it really is important here, I was looking through several different speeches of President Obama, and I found that he generally avoids the phrase Common Core. Now, sometimes he'll talk about race to the top, which is sort of his version of Common Core. But it's almost like Common Core these days, thankfully, has some bad branding. And so some people are let's say they're avoiding the language, but they're still trying to implement the overall goal.
Well, you're very astute. Here's the thing. The Common Core was built into the Race to the Top, which basically was a funding principle out of the initial stimulus package. And so the federal government took some of the stimulus money and offered it up to states to participate in essentially the beginnings of the Common Core initiative. And states, living through the economic crisis like the rest of us, basically a lot of them took the money and allowed themselves to become associated with the Common Core initiative. And really, before anybody knew it, states had signed themselves up, right, to the program. And literally, not literally, that's an overused phrase, but almost literally, in the stealth of the night, from one day to the next, you had districts that had become accustomed to No Child Left Behind now had found the earth shifting under them, and they now find themselves having to align to so-called Common Core standards. So the districts kind of got it handed down to them as unfunded mandates, unfunded changes to standards, testing, and curricula. And what comes even farther behind that is general public awareness. I mean, if you did a Google analysis of hits to the phrase Common Core, mm-hmm. obviously you'd find very little of it as early as 2010, 11. And now you'd see an inundation of hits to Common Core. People are becoming aware of it. And the more people find out about it, particularly, I think, probably folks that, like the ones that listen to your program, like the folks that read, that follow the Center for Vision and Values at Grove City
Conservatives.
College.
Conservatives.
What they hear, they don't like.
Yeah.
Exactly, conservative. I think the more you hear about it, the more you don't like it. And so that brings us back to the question of how can you be a Jeb Bush, a Bill Bennett, you know, at one time a Mike Huckabee and others in favor of it. And I think there is something deceptively alluring about the idea, politically incorrect even, of saying, listen, it doesn't matter where you are in the country, whether you're a rich, poor district, whether you're a diverse or homogenous district, whether you're on one end of the country or the other, these are the standards, and we're going to hold you accountable to them. In a way, there's something sort of old school about that. But I think that let me try to answer your question as directly as I can. There is an obvious conflict between taking that approach, here are the standards, live up to them, and protecting local autonomy. There's an obvious conflict between those things because you have to choose one.
Yeah.
And whichever one you choose says a lot about your general approach to policy and left-right and liberty and top-down. It says an awful lot about that. Mm-hmm. So you can pretend that the value trade-off isn't there, but it is.
Yeah.
The other thing you can pretend is that top-down standards coming from the federal education intelligentsia, that those standards and the ultimate content that's going to surround those standards, you can pretend that those are going to be value neutral, that those are going to be politically agnostic. You can pretend that all day long. But you and I know,
yep.
And really I think Bill Bennett and Jeb Bush know, and I think that Mike Huckabee ended up determining that if you allow the federal education intelligentsia to determine standards and ultimately the content that becomes attached to those standards, guess which way it's going to lean?
Yep. Well,
it's
absolutely.
It's going to lean to the right. It's going to lean to the left.
Okay.
So
we
Common
we,
Core standard. Yeah.
Yeah. We have about 3 minutes left, and I want to just say a few things here and then have you comment on whichever
sure.
of these you want to pick up on. Number one,
this
will be like enshrining political correctness in the curriculum for everybody, including what homeschoolers and even kids in Christian schools will learn. It will certainly minimize American history as far as, you know, like American exceptionalism and so forth. And the Judeo-Christian heritage of the West, forget it. And you mentioned Alysius, by Homer, is that going to be, would that be a part of it? You know, Ulysses, but they're going to have to learn about the Odyssey and so forth. Will they learn about these things in the West? We have a rich tradition, but instead everything is geared towards the politically correct. So I've given you a lot of fodder there in the remaining
sure.
2.5 minutes of this program.
Well, look, I think that at one level it sort of begs the question where you and I were basically saying, look, if you establish national standards in 2014 America, guess which way those standards are going to lean? So you and I think we agree that all of the momentum and all of the tendencies is going to be for those standards to lean left, and you called it politically correct. You called it there are other things that you could say about it. But all you have to do, if you want proof of this, and I talk about this in my article, is look at the AP history exam and all of the texts associated with the AP history exam. Where does that exam come out of? Comes out of the College Board. Who runs the College Board? David Coleman. David Coleman is widely recognized as the architect of Common Core. And if you look at the AP tests, and all you have to do, I would suggest that your readers, if they want to read a really interesting analysis on this, go and look at Stanley Kurtz's piece on the National Review, looking at what's in that test and what's been left out of it.
K-U-R-T-Z, okay. K-U-R-T-Z,
Stanley.
K-U-R-T-Z.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant article about the AP test and the relationship between sort of left, anti-Western views of history and what's starting to come out of that AP history exam. And there you have at least one cosmic answer to your I guess it wasn't a rhetorical question. Your question about what happens to Western Judeo-Christian values, American exceptionalism, it goes away at best. At worst, it becomes
15 seconds. Yep, at worst, it becomes a scapegoat. Yeah, so in other words, it's like enshrining political correctness in the curriculum. Hey, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Bo DiMuccio. Appreciate it. All the best now. We're out of time.
My pleasure.
Thank you now.